Good morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this new day. We thank you, Lord, for your divine presence with us. We welcome you. We're grateful for you. And Lord, we ask that you speak through me, that whatever it is that you wish to tell us this morning, and help us to come to know you more deeply, more intimately, you would speak through me. And bless all of us that we can give you all the glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Good to be here. Fall is with us. It's a good time of year, though. And may the Holy Spirit fall on us this morning. We've been studying in 2 Kings the story of Elisha. And as you recall, Elisha was given the mantle of Elijah. And when Elijah went up to heaven on that glorious chariot, before he left, he asked Elijah, who was his assistant, his mentor, his protege, what would he like from Elijah? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your spirit. Because Elisha could see that Elijah was a man of God, that the Spirit of God dwelt in Elijah. He said, I want a double portion of that spirit. So it's interesting that the story of Elisha is really the story of this man of God with the double portion of the spirit, performing all sorts of miracles throughout Israel. And we're going to look at one of the aspects of miracle performing today in the story of the Shunammite woman and her husband. Now, Sam Lind did a great job last week of covering some of this material, but he took a different emphasis. He talked about the power of personal private prayer. And this is so vital to all of us, and how Elijah depends upon prayer to bring forth miraculous experiences that the Lord uses him for. The beginning part of the story is what I'd like to go back to. I'd like to read from that. Because today we're going to speak of the gift of hospitality. The gift of hospitality. And it's exciting because it has, as we research this, as I researched it, a lot of beautiful implications. The story is simple, very short here, in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, verse 8 to 10, just a couple of verses. Since Elisha came to Shunem, which is a town in Judah, where there was a woman of influence who urged him to dine with her. Afterwards, whenever he passed by, he used to stop there to dine. So she said to her husband, I know that he is a holy man of God. Since he visits us often, let us arrange a little room on the roof and furnish it for him with a bed, table, chair, and lamp, so that when he comes to us, he can stay there. It's a simple little story. It's the story of hospitality. They saw that Elisha was a man of God. They wanted to have him come often, so they could tap into that spirit of God within him, basically. So what I'd like to explore today is three aspects of hospitality. Number one, inward hospitality. Number two, outward hospitality. And number three, miraculous living. Let's see how that all develops here and there. In terms of inward hospitality, the story tells us about inward hospitality. The Shunammite woman and her husband said, we want more of him. Basically, they're saying, we want more of the Spirit of God that we see in him. And so we're going to invite him in and offer him our hospitality. And we're not only going to invite him in, we're going to give him the best we have to offer, because in ancient Israel, the roof was a special place in the home, because it's hot in the desert, and they would have a place on the roof to go up and socialize and have meals until they were covered with canvas from the sun. But they'd get the breeze off the desert. And so they would enjoy that fresh air up on the roof. And so they were willing to give that up for the sake of providing a permanent place in their home for Elijah. And they even had, the way they got up there was an outside staircase, so Elijah would have privacy to come and go as he wanted. So they gave him a permanent home in their home in a very special place. So what does that mean in terms of hospitality and what we're talking about here today? It means that this is a metaphor, a model of how we are to invite into our home the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 3, the Lord says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you will but open your door, I will come in and make my place with you. Take supper with you. So, to all of us, the Lord is always standing at the door of our heart, asking us, not me, will we invite him in? Will we offer him hospitality? What it boils down to. And I believe that most everybody in this room has done that. You've invited the Lord in, and you've given him a special place in your heart. And he wants to recognize that in you, and we recognize that in him, that gift of hospitality manifests itself in some very, very beautiful ways. And one of the powerful ways that I like to refer to this is in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16. And Paul says, are you not aware that the temple of God lives within you? The Spirit of the Lord is within you and dwells within you. God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Are you not aware the Spirit of God lives within you, and the temple of God is holy, and you are that temple? That's what we're talking about here in terms of inward hospitality. When we invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart, we become the temple for the living God. And only by faith can we realize that would the God of the universe live within us. One of the main things, too, about this is that one of my other favorite verses is from John 17, at the end of the Last Supper, when the Lord is praying for the apostles. He prays, Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as you and I are one. I living in them, you living in me, that their unity may be complete. Jesus prayed, Father, I have given them the glory that you gave to me, that their unity is complete. I living in them, I Jesus living in them. You, Father, living in me, that their unity is complete. The beautiful thing is when we offer hospitality to the Lord, it's a 3-in-1 package, as I like to refer to it. The Father, the Son, and their Spirit. They're very intimately connected, as we know. There's one God in three persons, but all three come in and live within our heart home. Very profound. And once that happens, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to manifest within us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, strength, and fear of the Lord, which we change to the awesome awareness of the Lord's presence within us. The awesome awareness of the Lord's presence within us. Are you not aware of our temple? So when that happens, when we offer that inward hospitality, we then have a new energy, power, grace to offer outward hospitality to others. And that's what we're called to do. We're never given the gift of faith for ourselves alone, but always is meant to be given away. We want to always be very hospitable to others. And we have now that power because the power of God is within us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are within us. So we have that something to offer to others. And what we have to offer to others is the presence of God Himself to others. It's an amazing thing. And I know in my own case, I had a lot of interest in the Gospels and so on. But until I actually prayed and invited Jesus in, and asked for the power of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have that wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what it was all about. And there was this transformation that goes on inside of us where we learn about these things and become in touch with the very power of the Spirit of God. It's powerful. It's a beautiful experience. It's transformational. And when we have that to offer to others, we can really literally offer the presence of Jesus to others because we know Him there. And we experience that right here in such powerful ways each week. Because I certainly experienced that. I think all of you would agree that we experience that one with another. At the round table discussion, which is so wonderful here, we experience God in one another. There's no question about it. And don't you agree that when we hear what everybody has to say and we answer these questions, that it's God talking to each one of us? It's His Holy Spirit that inspires us to come up with these questions, answers, observations. We can talk about the things that God does. So the Spirit is with us in a powerful, powerful way. That's because we've been fighting more. And then we offer outward hospitality to one another here and to others whom we love and know in that world. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter, he says, above all, let your love for one another be constant. Be mutually hospitable as generous distributors of God's manifold gifts. Above all, let your love for one another be constant. Be mutually hospitable as generous distributors of God's manifold grace. If we hadn't invited Jesus in, we wouldn't have anything to give. We can't give what we don't have. We have that to give. And in Romans 12, Paul says, look on the needs of the saints as your own. Be generous in offering hospitality. And basically, that outward hospitality is offering them a share in the divine, a share in the divine presence within ourselves to others. And we trust Him to give us the words and the action and the desires and the grace to reach out to others. And David Roper, in his book on Elisha, said hospitality means more than opening up our homes, it means opening up our hearts. And that's what we want to do, is open up our hearts to others. And by God's grace, we can do that, not by our own natural inclination. I really feel that it takes God's grace to have that kind of generous spirit. Even to the point where I realize it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit within me that allows me to have the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding to share Christ in me to others. And should we all agree with that? So let's talk about miraculous living. Elijah went out and performed all these miracles and some wonderful, powerful miracles, brought people back to life and so on. But let me go to a definition of miracle. A miracle is an event or happening which appears to exceed the natural realm and which may be ascribed to the supernatural or divine power. Miracle, event or happening which appears to exceed the natural realm and which may be ascribed to supernatural or divine power. Don't know that. But what I've come to believe is that I realized in myself until I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I operated on my natural powers. And yeah, sometimes I could be a pretty good guy, but I also have that ability to be not such a good guy. But when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden I had this new empowerment within me. I realized it wasn't me. I realized it wasn't natural for me. I realize that I have a gift from some supernatural grace within me. It's the grace of God. And so to that extent, we all have supernatural power. And to that extent, I really believe that as we offer what I'm claiming outward hospitality, so there's offering the presence of the Lord within us to others, that's supernatural. And to that extent, yeah, I'm taking some literary license here. We all have the power of miracles. Because I believe that that's a miracle that God has graced us with, that divine presence within us. Are you not aware that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you, and that Spirit is holy, and you are that temple? These are profound, profound words. Profound, profound words. And the more we can embrace that and commit to that, the fullness of that beautiful blessing that we receive and invite Jesus in, we have that tremendous power, what I'm calling outward hospitality, to reach out to others. And we know that there's many, many needs out there. Many, many needs out there. And we can't sense them all. We answer the needs that the Lord puts into our own immediate circle. Our own hands, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, those who we work with, our neighbors, whomever the Lord might bring into our midst to reach out to. Maybe we're called to reach out to missionaries, local pastor, or those types of things too. I heard a phenomenal story just a few minutes ago from Chris Becker. I'm talking about, it's a beautiful example of what I'm talking about here. His friend, Gary, there's Gary, has another friend who's, is he a missionary? He's over in, he's in Rwanda right now. And he has a son with Asperger's disease. Chris, can you remind me what Asperger's is? It's an emotional, mental withdrawal, antisocial thing, like sometimes a little bit angry. He was living with a 45-year-old gentleman. He was living with a 60-year-old man. That's kind of a guy. And then the man just passed away. So he's 45-year-old with this problem. He's left alone, and his father's over in Africa, serving the Lord. And he called Gary. So he go over and spend some time with my son. And the son was very frightened, full of anxiety, and so on. And so this Gary said, I will reach out to him. And even he's willing to spend the night with him. I guess it was last night, he was supposed to call him this morning. He had called Gary for prayer, called Chris for prayer, and Chris said, how did it go, Gary, last night? He said, well, I finally got to sleep after 3 a.m. I was trying to talk to him on the ground, whatever. He just allowed the Spirit of God and Gary to reach out to this 35-year-old man who was suffering from mental illness. That's one very dramatic way of offering outward hospitality. But that's a miracle. I can call that a miracle. I know I'm taking a stretch here. But it's a miracle because Gary is a committed Christian. And in the natural realm, I don't think Gary might have had the power to do that wonderful thing to reach out to that kind of man. Maybe some would, I don't know. But I think it really takes that divine power, that supernatural power of knowing that we're the temple of the living God. And we can draw upon that power of God within us to reach out to others. And even the simple act of love, one of the most common characteristics of a Christian, as we've seen in the Bible, says they know they are Christians by their love. And so when we can be kind, and that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is the power that we receive when we have Christ within us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, mildness, and chastity. All those virtuous ways of living. You know, once in a while I would have those kind of virtues in my natural life, but it really took the power of the Lord within me allow me to have more of a gift of the Holy Spirit, His mandate, the mandate of the Holy Spirit. And I think that we all realize that if God is in us, He gives us that ability to have those kind of virtues, to live that kind of virtuous life. So I'm calling those miracles. Because it's supernatural, to have that divine power within us, number one. To be able to offer that to others, number two. And sometimes I'm surprised at myself of what the Lord can say to me. I realize it's not me. It's not my natural self. It's a gift that God's given me to speak. And there this morning, I prayed, the Lord, unless you speak through me, I have nothing to say. So that's why we want to trust in Him. And we can trust in Him. And I want to encourage each one of you to just realize that He's there for you. He's there for all of us. And He'll give us the word that when we ask, we receive. Encourage me to find the Lord. Now what should I say? Now what should I do? Show me what to do here, Lord. I only want Your will, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. It's a simple prayer. But I've experienced the grace of having that happen. When you ask, you receive. Is there trust? Are you not aware? The temple of God is within you. And the Spirit dwells within you. And the Spirit is holy. And you are that temple. Not a lot to swallow, so to speak. But it's pretty profound. And the wonderful thing is that it's totally unique. And when we live more and more from the center of our being, from the center of our hospitality in Jesus, and the love of His Father, and I think that particularly for men, come to realize that men particularly need to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Men need to have a good relationship with their Father. And the reality is that our natural fathers often, sometimes, fall short. But as I think I've told you this before, in my own life, when my dad died when I was 13 years old, I really know who I needed a dad, and of course I had some uncles who stepped in, they're wonderful from the work of my family here. But ultimately, when I came to know Jesus, He really introduced me to my Heavenly Father. And all the sadness I had in my heart from losing my dad when I was a teenager, the Father kind of just replaced that. I can draw upon my dad's strength. I call him dad because when my dad died, we call him dad. In fact, in our family, most of them call him daddy. That's how young we all were and how intimate we were with him. He got over dead one and it was sweet to him. I can flash in my mind like that. I can see the whole video. And that was over 50 years ago. So when we call upon our Heavenly Father, and Jesus is always asking His Father, I only do what my Father tells me, that's really inspiring to me, because I always say, Dad, what do you want me to do now? And that builds up our masculine strength when we know we've got our dad up there supporting us, encouraging us, guiding us. And He's got that divine wisdom. He never messes up. Sometimes our dad messes up. Tonight we're going down to the, I think I'd like to go with the word, but didn't have a chance to tell you. Are you going tonight?
Yes.
And Herb, God bless him, and Carol Stanfield, Bill Blass, and a number of guys go down to the rescue mission on the first Saturday of the month, which is thanks. I go once in a while, that's from Robin Gilman. I love Bill Blass. And I look out on the sea of 200 faces of these guys, and I would say that probably, I'm guessing, 95% of them did not have a healthy relationship with their dad. And maybe up to 50% of them never even knew their dad. And without that, they found gang life as a family alternative, and they found drugs and alcohol as an alternative to pain and not having that love with their father. So, Irv and Harold and Bill and others who come, I think we're, our role there is to really give them some fatherly love. They're desperately in need of that. But when we invite the Lord in, he'll immediately show us our Father in heaven. And I've come to learn over the years, and I say with many men, to commit to that love for the Heavenly Father. We all need it. We all need it. And admit it, guys. We all need the love of a Father. It's part of who we are. We're literally to chip off the old blockers. We want to know that we're affirmed by our Father. And our Father in heaven constantly affirms us and tells us literally who we are and that we know. I think that's in your history. Why can't we call those things miracles? Because they're supernatural blessings that we all receive. We share that with others with their outward hospitality. Realize that it's because we invited people in, his blessings also fall into place. And the story of the Shunammite woman and her husband is that Elisha said, "You've been so generous to invite us in. What can I do for you? Can I speak to the officials to give you favor with the government or whatever?" And there was no response. But his assistant, the busy, said, "Elisha, you notice that this woman is not having children." He said, "Elisha went down and said, this day next year, 1 year from now, you'll be finding a young son." And then the story goes, he said, well, don't deceive me, Elisha. He didn't want to be disappointed. He said, this baby is not here, he's not going to have a son. So he did, following him. A couple years later, when a young boy was working with his father in the field, he got sick, he came in, and she had him into her arms, which came with my sister, and he died. So she put him on Elijah's bed, up in on the roof. And she immediately went and got Elijah to come back, and he restored this young boy back to Elijah's feet. All those things so certainly happened because Elijah was the man of God. He invited the Spirit of God to meet him, double put him in the Spirit. Those are big miracles, but we can have the opportunity to perform those little miracles, those wonderful little miracles, every day. Wake up in the morning and know that I'm talking to you again in heaven. I'm even calling that a wonderful little miracle that each one of us can finish our own hearts. So, what I'd like to do is close with a prayer. And I'd like to pray for a double portion of the Spirit to some of us in the room. Anybody open to that? Okay. Father in heaven, in the name of your divine Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the power of your Spirit who lives within us, we ask you this morning, Father, as Elisha did, for a double portion of your Spirit, a double portion of your Holy Spirit, which is a double portion of you, Father, and a double portion of your Son, a double portion of your Spirit to guide and direct us. As they open up our hearts to you and offer you hospitality, we ask for a double portion of outward hospitality to reach out to others and bring your presence to the many people in our own world, large and small. The miracle of your presence within us can be a miracle to others. We praise you, we thank you, and we give you the glory, Father, to your honor and praise. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, guys.
What?
Bob asked what happened to our group, and you said that Jerry was feeling good.
No. I got it. I worked with Thank you. Jesus Christ, and the Lord, 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 and the L Yes, it is.
Yeah.